Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now, or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile, and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about, like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
The Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's Lance Risland. He's Coach Riz. He's from Cleveland.com, and he joins us now. Coach, how we doing?
Jake, how are you? Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. We're a day away from football, which isn't something we always get to say, but I don't know. I just spent the last segment essentially detailing the fact that as a fan, I'm not even excited to watch this. Like, 2-8, down the stretch, it's a rivalry game. I still feel like I have nothing to actually be excited for from the fan aspect, right? I'm going to watch it. It's sort of part of the job. I do it. I enjoy talking about it. But, like, if I'm rooting for the Cleveland Browns as a fan, this just feels like one that's not doing it for me.
Yeah, this is tough. I think the expectations coming in make it worse. You know, when you have expectations and you have high expectations like the Browns did, that makes it really, really tough, a tough pill to swallow. And that's kind of where they're at. But I will say, as a coach, your job as a coach is to get yourself off the mat and kind of get ready for the next week. And you'll see that early if they've prepared like they should have this week to get ready for a rival.
Speaking of sort of preparing, Nick Chubb, I think it was last week, it was a very low snap count from him. And I think Kevin Stefanski, even after the game, sort of saying, hey, this is one where we sort of had next week in mind, short week turnaround. You think, like, maybe a breakout game for him, at least like a high usage game coming into Thursday against the Steelers? Obviously ended his season last year in Pittsburgh against the Steelers, the rivalry aspect of it. Like, is this one where they're sort of warming him up for it?
Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen first before Nick Chubb is they got to get some better movement up front. They've really struggled moving people off the ball like they've done for years. You know, when they ran the ball for 4 or 5 years, us as people who cover them and fans, we all kind of look at it and, you know, they made that look really easy. It's not, and they're struggling this year up front. So before he can have a breakout game, that offensive front needs to have a breakout game. Those guards inside need to get some movement. Whoever plays tackle, left tackle, obviously pass protection is going to be the main focus, but they got to be able to run the ball. The weather's going to be pretty bad. So it should be a breakout game, but he'll have a breakout game based on what his offensive linemen do.
Speaking of the offensive lineman, I mean, you sort of pointed to it. No DeJuan Jones for the rest of the year. Jed Wills already ruled out. Like, that left tackle spot, I mean, you're basically between, like, Jermaine Urfedi or sliding over Joel Bitonio. Like, do you point to that as a concern for the Browns heading into tomorrow?
Well, I'll tell you what, Kevin has always done a great job of helping his tackles. And when you face a guy like Watt, regardless of who's at tackle, so the concern of everybody, rightfully so, is who's going to help on Watt. Well, they would have to help on Watt regardless who was at tackle. You know, there's certain guys in the NFL that are game wreckers, and as offense coordinator, you need to make sure that that guy is taken care of. So he does a great job with chipping. They'll help with the backs. They'll get rid of the football quickly. The best thing they can do is run the ball right at Watt and get that run game going in this weather. But no, I don't have a ton of concern because I've always thought Coach Stefanski does a great job of especially helping on those elite pass rushers.
Did you see enough from DeJuan Jones next year to sort of commit to him as a tackle of the future? Like, even if it's sliding back over to right tackle in place of Jack Conklin when his contract's up, like, did you see enough of him out of this year to commit to him in the long term?
Well, I'll tell you what, during camp, I had some concerns because he just was very slow of foot. And then, you know, obviously, I thought he did a good job of toughing it out and coming back from that knee injury. He struggled in camp. He struggled all year, and he's really struggled with his movement skills. And when you're a guy that size, you have to really focus on your weight. And it's not bad weight. It's the idea of carrying that large amount of weight for four quarters. And so I think he's a little bit out of shape, and I think it had a lot to do with that knee. But, yeah, for me, his talent, his ceiling is so high with his ability to move his feet. Obviously, I think if he's got to have a healthy offseason and get himself in shape. So I think the question is more is what is going to be his buy-in once they get to the offseason in terms of getting himself in elite shape? Because if he's in elite shape, he's a number one left tackle for the Browns, I believe, because of his ability to move his feet.
All right, Coach, last question. I'll talk to you about the offensive line. I know it's not everyone's favorite thing. I know that you enjoy it, though. As a football mind, I know you enjoy it. Jed Wills, like, obviously gets benched early in the year. He wasn't playing his best football. You think down the stretch, obviously not this week coming into tomorrow, but like the final 6 weeks, does he have an opportunity to sort of win the fans and win the organization back if he actually goes out there and gives you 100% and plays pretty well?
Well, as you would know, in the line of work you do, when you're losing, everything is under a microscope. So, you know, it's always good culture. You never heard of a team that has great culture when you're losing. So, you know, the thing about Jed Wills is his body language sometimes it makes people crazy. You know, I get an opportunity, very lucky, to go down there and watch every day of practice with, you know, Mary Kay and Dan and Ashley and those guys from Cleveland.com. And he just kind of, he doesn't have a great body language when you see him. And that's kind of what I think hurts him. Now, the thing that gets you excited about him is that you can see him in practice when he gets upset or he gets mad because he's got to block Miles. He has all the physical tools. It's just that he doesn't do it all the time. And then he kind of takes the least path, the resistance on some plays if they go away from him. He looks disinterested at times, and even though he is interested, but that's kind of the body language he gives you. You know, he's a guy that, you know, I think with Callahan, because Callahan was such a stickler, had a chance, but you need to be kind, he needs to be motivated. And I'm not sure what his motivation level is or how that can happen, but every player is different. And as a coach, I always had guys, you know, some guys react to yelling, some guys react to talking. Whatever it is, he's got to find some internal motivation because skill-wise, he's got it. He can move his feet. He can pass that. He does a good job in the run game. He's not a mauler, but he never was a mauler. He's not Teller or Bentonio in terms of knocking people down, but he does a good enough job of getting in the way, and he moves his feet really well. So, yeah, he has the ability. He just has to have that want-to, kind of that Cleveland mentality that he's kind of lacking right now. And that's, you know, hopefully he can get it, but he's not doing it right now.
Fair to describe it as an uphill battle?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Just because of where they're at offensively, it's been such a struggle. And, you know, obviously, you know, with the fans and you make comments, and obviously, you know, when you make comments, you have to always be aware of what you're saying and how you're saying it, because this is a very passionate town and these people love, you know, people love football, and, you know, as do I, and you want to see players that want to practice. You want to see players that are excited about being out there. You want to see players that, you know, we all know they make a lot of money, but we really care about how much they care about playing. And, you know, a couple of the guys on the team have kind of had bad body language, and I think that's rubbed some people wrong.
Lance Reisland, Coach Riz, over at Cleveland.com with us. All right. Jameis Winston has shown us like the high of the high and the low of the lows, right? So what's the difference between the good Jameis you've gotten the two games you saw him, obviously last week throwing for almost 400 yards, and then against Baltimore, and sort of the bad Jameis that you got in parts of that Baltimore game and also against the Chargers? Like, is it physical? Is it mental? What is the difference between his play in those games?
Well, first of all, Jameis is awesome in practice. And when you talk about, like, culture, and you talk about guys who are fun to watch, now, Jameis doesn't always make good decisions, and that's what's kind of held him back, is decision-making. But Jameis is extremely cognitive. He understands. He trusts his arm almost too much at times. But for me, I love watching Jameis practice. What you get on the field is, you know, it's not really phony. He really enjoys practicing, and you need guys like that when you get the 6th, 7th, 8th day of camp, because it gets kind of dragged on. He's a really good practice player. He practices really hard. I love guys that practice hard because it gives them a chance to be successful. You know, it doesn't mean you will be, but if you don't practice hard, you have no chance to be successful. The thing that, you know, you've kind of gotten the full gamut of what Jameis Winston is. He can make all the throws. He can make all the checks. He understands every front, every coverage, you name it. Jameis, it has the intelligence and the arm talent and the ability to do things. But you've also seen the Jameis that turns the ball over. And his thing that holds him back from being an elite guy is just the ability to protect the football in important times. If he can protect the football, check it down, he's going to be really successful because he can make all the throws and he understands the game of football very well.
So then do you see him as a legitimate option for next year? Like, even if you consider him a bridge quarterback, do you consider keeping him around?
Well, you know, I do, because, you know, and once again, I'm a guy that I didn't think, you know, this was, you know, Deshaun Watson has taken the blame for a lot of this. And, you know, as a quarterback, you always get too much blame and too much credit. But he is a guy, Jameis is a guy that, because of his energy and because of how, I mean, you would have no idea if he was a starter, first or third string, or a practice squad guy when you go out to practice. He's always involved. He's always talking to the coaches. He's always talking to players. He's always highly energetic. So I think those guys, not only for his talent and his skill, especially if he's a backup, but once again, I think that comes down to, where is your future at quarterback? What are the plans? And, you know, the guys that in migrating, the guys who are top in the draft don't really fit what Kevin Stefanski likes to run. So how are they going to, what do they want to do and how do they want to do it? But Jameis is a guy, regardless of what I think he gives you a chance to have a great backup. I think he can bridge the gap if you get a young guy, or he can bridge the gap if you think the quarterback's in 25, you know, in the following draft. But if he can protect the football, Jameis is a very good quarterback. In fact, I think he's going to continue to get better throughout the year because he will protect the football and check it down a little bit more.
All right, you said you don't like anybody at the top to fit Kevin Stefanski's system. Have you done enough, have you watched enough tape to see anybody lower than that you think fits it?
Oh, yeah, well, no problem saying that. I think, I think Cam Ward is a special talent. I think Shador Sanders, those are my top two guys in terms of NFL throws. But the guy that I think that not a lot of people are high on, who I have in that same category, is Garrett Nussmeier from LSU. A lot of people don't like his body frame. I like the idea that he plays for Brian Kelly. He's in a pro-style offense. They have multiple calls in the huddle. His footwork from underneath center, both in the gun. They run a lot of personnel groups and tight end personnels and things that you're going to see more in the NFL. So I think that learning curve will be a little bit less for him. And I just like the way he throws the ball. I like the way he throws the ball from the pocket. I like the way his footwork, his composure. I think he can make all the throws. Obviously, we'll see some of that in the offseason, but I'm really big on Nussmeier. I think he's got a bright future. Kind of want to see how truly big he is when they measure him and things like that, because I do think size is important in the NFL just because those guys are so massive. And that's always been my thing as a quarterback, is do you have the weight to be able to take the hits throughout 17 weeks?
That's why I got to ask you, Coach. That's why I go to you. I've not heard anybody say Nussmeier is their, like, sleeper pick of good quarterbacks. I've heard, he's all right, but I don't really love him. That's why I go to you for the question. This is what I like to hear. Give me a little bit of hope on anybody.
Yeah, there's a lot of good guys out there, but again, I think it comes down to scheme. It comes down to how they want to do things. Are they going to be more play action? You can kind of see, in my opinion, what happens when a coach, I've been there as well, when you try to do things that are outside your realm. As a coach, we only know what we know. And even at the NFL level, Kevin Stefanski is a wide zone, counter, boot waggle, big personnel groups, getting some different sets, use fine matchups, a drop back guy, a guy who doesn't improvise but kind of stays on schedule and checks the ball down. And that's really not what Deshaun Watson is. That's not what he ever was. And Kevin had to kind of step outside himself. And that's really hard to do as a coach. So I'll be really interested to see the route they go with it, which will kind of tell you what they're going to do offensively as well.
All right, I have to ask you, Juan Thornhill's effort on a couple of those big plays last week against the Saints. I mean, social media sort of took to him a little bit tough, maybe for phoning it in on those. Is that sort of what you saw? And then in the locker room, how is that something that the Browns then address? And then overcome, of course, sitting at 2-8. It's not like you can have guys buy in thinking they're going to the playoffs.
Well, I'll tell you what, the word that you always hear in all sports, but especially football, a word that I think is often overused because of how people use it, is the word culture. And I won't, no player in particular, but culture is not something that you say. Culture is something you do. It's you're as a football player and as a football coach, you're a creature of habit. You have to do the right things every day, have a relentless pursuit of doing the right thing every single day, whether it's being first in meetings. I used to tell my kids, be first one in the class, sit in the front of class. Like, everything you do is important. And that's what culture is. Culture is not saying we have a great culture. Culture is being consistent. Culture is being there every day. Culture is, so I would say the things that made their defense successful last year, the culture of their defense, are things they're not doing this year. They're not getting the turnovers. They're not swarming to the football. They're not stopping the run like they did. They're not getting home on their pass rushes like they did. So for me, it's not really one player. It's the idea of what they're doing. What are their habits right now? And their habits as a defense have not been what they've been in the past. Now, obviously, that play was, that didn't look good, especially when he was, running after on that long run. However, that just tells you it shouldn't be just that play. It's everything you do, every rep, every meeting. Are you taking notes in meeting? Are you, all those little things that people don't really think, mean anything, really add up. That's culture. It's consistently doing things every day the right way. And that's what I think the Browns are kind of lacking right now, Thornhill included.
Lance Risland again with us here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Coach, a lot of talk surrounding Kevin Stefanski, his job security. I've heard a lot of people within the last couple days saying that the Browns tend to fire coaches after losing to the Steelers. Obviously, a long week this week, the game being tomorrow, and then you have the sort of extended period between.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
You don't brag about your car's resale value until years later when it proves you made the right call. And Toyota makes that choice easy. For the sixth year in a row, Toyota was named the best resale value brand by Kelley Blue Book, with Camry, Tacoma, and 4Runner all earning best in class. Because when you buy a vehicle that's built to last, you drive away with value you can count on. Shop Toyota.com to learn more. Vehicles projected resale value and best resale value awards are specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Matt, in your next game, any sense that Kevin Stefanski is coaching for his job?
Well, for me, I say no, but football is unfair, especially at the NFL level, and it's such an instant gratification kind of thing. Even, you think about how high people are on Mike Tomlin, rightfully so. I absolutely love what he's created in Pittsburgh. But there was a few years ago, there was talk about him. He was washed up, can't do it anymore. It's just a really, you cannot be unsuccessful and have the year that they had without somebody, you know, kind of almost paying the price for it. However, for me, Kevin Stefanski has done enough. When he's in charge running his offense with his guys, I feel like he's been pretty successful. Now, is there a misconnection between him and Barry and, you know, the upper management? Obviously, I don't know that, but I just think when Kevin Stefanski has, you know, you've seen that with the Flaccos, and you've seen that with guys who aren't necessarily these high, you know, these high price or high name guys that are successful because his offense is a system, and his system fits the type of, you know, the Jameis Winston, the Flacco, the setup guys, the non-improvising, the guys who stay on schedule, know where they're supposed to, you know, that kind of thing. So for me, no, I think, you know, when you start over, you have to take all that into account. So when you start over, you get new everything. You're getting new weight coaches. You're getting new, you know, strength and conditioning coaches. You're getting new position coaches. Everything starts new, which means there's a learning curve. And if there's a learning curve and you don't have the talent or the picks, then you're going to be running down this road again. I've heard a lot about Mike Tomlinson. One of the things that you like about the Steelers is they draft the way they draft for them. They don't draft on what everybody else thinks is great, but they're consistent. They've had three coaches in, what, 100 years or whatever it is. So I just think consistency is important. Do I think some things need to happen? Absolutely. But, for me, I think it's more of like they have some guys who aren't performing to the level maybe they thought they would. And will those guys get back to that level? And how does that happen? I'm not sure. But for me, I think Kevin Stefanski is an outstanding play caller. I think he's an outstanding play designer. You know, everybody didn't like his offense. Well, his offense was a top 10 offense, and he wanted to improve that. And I appreciate that. They're just not there right now.
All right, Coach, real quick, we're going short on time. But I know you've been doing a little bit of high school football on the broadcasting side. So if people want to hear more of your analysis coming up this Friday, where can they do it?
Well, I'll be on Spectrum. I'll be doing the Walsh-Hoban game at Twinsburg. I'm really looking forward to great programs.
All right, Coach, wish you a great game. And until we talk to you next time, wish you well.
Thanks for having me, Jake. Always, buddy.
Always. And that was Coach Riz, Lance Reisland from Cleveland.com, at Lance Reisland on X. Make sure you check out all of his stuff. And he appeared on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. When we come back, I don't know how we're still talking about the Stefanski firing. It's Jake Volnick right here on The Fan. 2-8 to start a year, and by all accounts, you could very well end the season 2-15. Like, somebody sort of got to pay for that. At least that's the way that it feels, right? Like, somebody has to pay the price. I just don't know that that's Kevin Stefanski. I can't bring myself to fully believe that, right? Like, and we've all speculated it. If you live in the station, there's not a single show who hasn't talked about the potential that Kevin Stefanski loses his job. It's a legitimate conversation to be had. Like, we did it last week going to the Saints game. Like, hey, if you lose one against the Saints, a team that you probably downright for the last time this season should beat, is that sort of what pushes you over the edge? Clearly, we're still here having sort of the same conversation heading into a Thursday night football game against Pittsburgh. So it didn't happen. Nobody had the cause for losing to the Saints. But if there's ever an ideal time to fire a coach midseason, which, hint, there's not. But if there's a time that you point to, it's, hey, you're coming up on Thursday night football. You're playing a division rival. You lose a game. You have a extra time to bounce back, because then, I mean, don't forget, you're going from Thursday night football then straight into Monday night football. So it's not just, you even have an extra day built in than if you were playing on Sunday. You get almost full 2 weeks. I don't think Stefanski's gone over it, but it's a question that has to be asked. Like, if you're going to go fire a coach, that's the time to do it. You have that entire time to sort of get your interim coach in there, get whatever changes they want to make underway, and then get ready for Monday Night Football. This is sort of what I would deem as like the final hurdle, though. If you lose to the Steelers and you don't get fired and you're Kevin Stefanski, I feel like you're safe for the remainder of the year. I don't think that you would go and then pick another game later in the season within the final, what, five, six games? That you're going to go out and say, okay, now we fire him. Like, this is sort of the final hurdle to get over of, if they're not going to fire him after a Thursday night game against Pittsburgh, if you were to walk out a loser, they're not going to fire him, period. It just seems, and I went to bat for this last week, and I'll sit here and do it again if I have to. Like, it's not just two-time coach of the year. When you give Kevin Stefanski the opportunity to run his offense and where he's in full control, things have looked pretty good. And you could make the argument that he's never really had that guy. I think Lance made that exact argument when he talked to us. Like, you never really had the guy that was Stefanski's guy. Right? Like, even Baker Mayfield, probably not Stefanski's guy. But certainly not Deshaun Watson. Certainly he didn't want to go to a backup quarterback even with Joe Flacco or with Jameis Winston. Those aren't the guys that he points to and says, hey, this is who I want running my offense. No. I think it's more of, he's been so successful. You're coming a year off of winning 11 games. And it was when you took the offense out of Stefanski's hands that things sort of went wrong. Not just the play calling, because obviously that happened later this season, but I mean the actual setup and scheme of the offense. When you took that out of his hands, things fell apart. Because even when you were running the Stefanski offense with Deshaun in there, you were finding ways to win games. And now stepping in this year, running the whole new offense that was supposed to fit Deshaun better, things fell off the rails. I just don't feel like you want to go and get rid of a coach who's shown you that he's been good, shown you he has a chance. Like, yeah, has this year been an absolute disaster? Have things been great? No. Like, it has been a disaster. Things have not been great. I just don't think you walk away from like that. And I won't lie to you. Like, there's extra danger coming to this week. No doubt about it. Like, after watching Juan Thornhill and the effort that he put out on some of those plays, like, I don't want to use the term lost the locker room, but when you don't have guys playing hard, I mean, what else are you playing for out here? Like, these guys are putting tape on film for themselves. Like, that is out there now on them to go out and perform. They're showing teams sort of what they buy in. I think that's also a reflection to a degree on your coach of, hey, like, you got to have guys playing hard for you even when it's the games that don't matter. I would retort, you know, again, I think that's extra danger, but if you wanted the rebuttal to that, Juan Thornhill didn't play all that much. Like, he gave that terrible effort play and then sat for a whole quarter. Right? They were like, hey, if you don't want to go out and give me the effort, here comes Ronnie Hickman. Okay, like, you've both dealt with injuries, and that's what we're going to point to at the end of the game, but let's be realistic here. That's what you want to put out? That's what you want to show? Okay. I'll go play another guy. I'm not afraid. At this point, at 2-8, I think that's exactly the mentality that you have to have if you're Kevin Stefanski. I'm not afraid to go play the other guy. Like, I will go, and it does not matter if you're getting paid, right? If your name's not like Myles Garrett or Nick Chubb, if you're going out there not giving me everything you got, there's somebody else waiting right behind you. Right, you sort of even take a step from, hey, this is NFL culture, almost back to, hey, we're 2-8 and we're looking for what we have next year. If you don't want to be bought into the team, let the door hit you on the way out. There's no problem with that. That's sort of the mentality you have to go to. You can't just let guys change the culture. And I don't know that Kevin Stefanski did. I think he made the good move. I think if the Browns fire Kevin Stefanski, you'll look back on it as a mistake. Especially midseason. Like, what are you accomplishing there? There's nobody in the building right now unless you're really going to Mike Vrabel, which I have my high doubts that would ever happen. Unless that's what your plan is, there's nobody sitting there ready to take over.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or?
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today, and let us surprise you.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter, from plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
You don't brag about your car's resale value until years later when it proves you made the right call. And Toyota makes that choice easy. For the sixth year in a row, Toyota was named the best resale value brand by Kelley Blue Book, with Camry, Tacoma, and 4Runner all earning best in class. Because when you buy a vehicle that's built to last, you drive away with value you can count on. Shop Toyota.com to learn more. Vehicle's projected resale value and best resale value awards are specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit KellyBlueBooks, KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
For that job. What would be the point? Why get rid of a coach who's won you something? You've had a bad year. Somebody else can pay the price. I understand that. You have to hold price somebody accountable. I don't think that person's Kevin Stefanski. I just don't see how that's where you go. 216-474-0092. Larry and Elyria, I see you sitting there. We'll get back to you on the other side. And I also want to get into some of this offensive line talk. All right? It's not the most exciting thing in the world, but I think it has to be addressed. DeJuan Jones, Jed Wills, and what lies ahead in the future. We'll do it next on The Fans. Jake Volnick. We'll do it next on The Fans. Jake Volnick. I want to make sure I get to some of your calls, though. 216-474-0092 if you guys want to get in. I just don't see how you're firing Kevin Stefanski, but hey, maybe some of you guys see it. Let's go out to Larry and Elyria. Larry, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going, Jake? Pretty good. Yeah, Coach Stefanski, beginning of the year, basically, Jake, everybody was injured. The offensive line, Nick Hughes was injured. Njoku was hurt. Everybody was all banged up. You had who else? Defensive line, we can't think who it was. We had a couple of there also, but that was the problem getting the year. We weren't healthy at all. And with Coach Stefanski, what it is, Mr. Haslam, if you go back, we'll start with Deshaun, what he wanted was, he wanted a high tempo of offense. Back, I think it was the quarterback, I can't remember his name, was there at Tennessee at the time. A couple of years ago, they were real explosive there, Jake. And I remember Mr. Haslam says he likes to see them clean Browns run that type of offense. And that's why he made the move for Deshaun, too, right there. And that's his team does what he wants. And he, like you said, too, even everybody being injured, he dismantled the whole coaching staff to it upon that. And then he worked, it was a mess this year, really was. But one thing about Stefanski's system, too, works a lot, too, Jake. Drew Petzing of the Cardinals used to be here in Cleveland, right?
Yeah.
I think quarterback coach, I can believe it was. Go look at the Cardinals' stats. At 23 and this year, they have one of the better rushing offenses in the league. And I think Kyler Murray's having his best year so far at the quarterback position also. Because that type of system he's run right now. That's what it is. And I'll let you go, Jake. There's one team would pick him up in a heartbeat. The Chicago Bears would pick him up. He'd sit there, Caleb Williams. He gets in there. and work with that kid, and he'll complete the offense. I think, in my opinion, I could be wrong saying that. He'll turn that team around big time.
Appreciate the call, Larry. I don't know that you're wrong. I don't know that's his ideal quarterback, but he'd probably be happier with him than he has been the last couple of years here in Cleveland. Let's go right back out to the phones. Let's go to Steve. Steve's in Akron. How you doing, Steve?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. We're living the dream. What do you got?
Hey, I just wanted to say, I think in between it said that, with the Browns loss, they would be the worst team in the AFC or tie the Jags. No, that would make us the worst team because we've already lost to the Jags, along with the Cowboys, the Giants, and the Raiders, who I think are all bottom five in the NFL teams.
Record would be the same. Yeah, the tiebreaker would not be pretty for you, though.
Right. So, I really think he needs to go. I think the team has quit on him. I mean, we saw last week they quit on him. The fans have quit on him. It's going to be black and yellow all week on Thursday. I don't understand how he can have, like, his first drive of the game look so good, and then the other team can change, and we can't. And it just drives stall after that. He can game plan for one drive. I don't like the fact, a couple years ago he admitted he knew nothing about defense and special teams. He only stays with the offense. He should have gave up offensive coordinator position, at that moment in time. You're the head coach. You need to be in all facets of the game. And he's clearly not. I don't think he's a leader of men, showing that they quit. I think my favorite is after a big win, when guys have, like, dislocated fingers, they're bloody, they're sore, they're tired, and he came in all pumped up with his little clipboard and said, "Who loves stats? Who wants to see stats?" No one wants to see stats. They want to have a beer, hit the ice bath, take some Advil and go home. They don't need to hear about stats at that point in time. So I think we need a leader of men. I think he's in the building. We need to change the philosophy. We need to get the secondary not dancing after a 10 play or a 10-yard overthrown pass. I got Newsome dancing. We need to have some men in there and some teams, a team that people are scared to play, do the physicality and everything else. And I don't think he can do it.
Appreciate the call, Steve. Losing the locker room is something that's so hard to, like, pin and say. I don't know that that's true. Like, Joel Bitonio, earlier this week, was talking about exactly what he thought. They brought him up the idea that Kevin Stefanski could be fired and his thoughts on it.
Yeah, I don't hear much. You're not on Twitter or Instagram or listen to the radio. So, Coach Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. I don't think there's much conversation, but that's just my opinion. We're worried about the Pittsburgh Steelers this week, and I don't really think we got to, even speculate on that right now.
That's one of the leaders in your locker room. That's one of the top guys that you could possibly talk to. Right? Like, Joel Bitonio is somebody who's been here from the start of his career, will probably finish his career as a Cleveland Brown, as in tune with the city and the organization as a player is going to get. That guy's dismissing it right away. That doesn't sound like somebody who's lost the locker room to me. You can say what you want about Kevin Stefanski's ability as a play caller, which I still would side on the fact that he's a pretty darn good one. Hasn't been in a great situation this year to be able to be that guy and clearly gave it up. I don't know how you're going to turn away from him and tell me that he's not a good coach. Two-time coach of the year. He took Joe Flacco to the playoffs last year, aided by a really good defense who hasn't been so great this year. But, like, nobody was thinking Joe Flacco was coming in and you were going to the playoffs. And by the way, walking into that game with expectations of winning. Like, you thought that you were walking away with the win in that game. You knew it was going to be somewhat close, or you thought it was going to be. But you thought you were going to win. 216-474-0092. Ryan's in Worcester. Ryan, thoughts on Stefanski?
Thanks for taking my call, man. I just want to chime in on the disaster control that the Browns season is. Again, we need to be rational. Not we as fans, but obviously the front office, and just, you gotta take a step back and realize, okay, all right, this is the worst case scenario, but at the same time, it can get way worse if you blow it up or do something irrational. Stefanski is so ironically similar to Baker in the realm that he is just that medium tier 13th best quarterback. You can argue with some games he's the fifth top five, whatever. But again, on average, he's the 13th. I mean, Stefanski, obviously, you know, fire everyone, just get rid of everyone, and just everything will be all right. It's not like that. It's just you're going to go backwards even more. So again, Stefanski, in my opinion, obviously, I like the hoorah guy. I'm hyper as it is. I like that Mark Cuban owner level. I like the Bobby Knight get in your face mentality. I like the Mike Vrabel man's man mentality.
Yeah, we're on the same page there.
I like wins way more than I like fun atmospheres of coaches or owners or whatever. Stefanski is just that guy that just, he's humble, he's rational, he's, you really don't see high or low in him. And again, he just knows what he's doing. And again, he was given a bad circumstance right now with the season, with injuries and just the Watson circumstances. And again, with him being fired, you could say, oh, God, we got another guy, Vrabel. Again, as much as I'm a Vrabel fan, I can't say that he's a better coach. He's just really solid. He's rock solid. But Stefanski is serious. I just feel way more comfortable moving forward with him. You want to talk about GMs or people to run the show behind the scenes, that's different. But getting rid of the guys that I feel are something special, like Stefanski, I just want to move forward. And again, tomorrow I'll be at the game in the dog pound, rooting my butt off. Again, this is our Super Bowl tomorrow, as disgusting as it sounds. I just feel that the best case scenario for this season is just that W tomorrow to make us feel good, and the other rest of the season throw it to the wind and try for, obviously, the cover corner, obviously the first pick overall, the next Deion Sanders, moving forward and just keeping that plethora and just trying to build moving forward. But blowing it up is the last thing I want, Jake. I know I said a lot, but, man, it's just nerve-wracking time, and it can get worse. Please calm down, front office. Do not blow it up. Jake, great show as always, man. Thanks for taking my call.
Always, Ryan. Appreciate the call as always. So, like, I have to address the Vrabel thing, and not anything that Ryan said there. I mean, Ryan was making some really good points, but, like, he sort of hit the nerve for me on the Vrabel thing, and we're in agreement, me and Ryan are. The Vrabel thing makes no sense to me. Okay, like, I don't think Mike Vrabel's a bad coach. I think he's a pretty good coach, right? He was a coach of the year. He sort of, in my mind, got a little bit of a raw deal in Tennessee. Whatever. You also can't deny the fact that Mike Vrabel went through a coaching hiring phase in this offseason. Nobody touched him. Nobody wanted to hire Mike Vrabel. Right? Like, there were rumors going out that he was too intimidating, whatever. Nobody decided that that's our coach of the future. I can guarantee you if Kevin Stefanski got let go today, there'd be a team interviewing or wanting to interview him tomorrow. He's a good coach at the end of the day. He's a guy who's found ways to win. This year, not a great representation of it, right? Say what you will about this season. History has proven itself with Kevin Stefanski that he finds ways to win. While not being dealt the best hand. Vrabel's had up and down years as a coach. I just think if the guy was that great, if he was a slam dunk hire, he would have been a coach somewhere else. He wouldn't be a consultant for the Browns. I think a lot of people get enamored with the fact that Vrabel is a sort of Cleveland guy or Cleveland adjacent guy, right? He grew up around here. He is sort of that hoorah guy. He'll be loud. He's in the face of people. He's a coach that people describe as, hey, that's someone you want to run through a brick wall for. That's not Kevin Stefanski, but that's not to say Kevin Stefanski is a bad coach and that has to be every single coach. Clearly, guys have bought in for Kevin Stefanski before. All right, if you look at last season and tell me that guys weren't bought in, I don't know what to tell you. That was a team that was fully there. I don't know what the difference was and why it didn't happen this year. But he was clearly on the pace to get you there. He's done it. I just don't see what hiring Vrabel actually fixes. If you're what is the problem with the Browns that you're looking at that you think Mike Vrabel is this instant hot fix for? Because you can say he's going to build a culture, he's going to make guys play hard, sure. Who right now is like taking the plays off other than the defense? Jim Schwartz had guys playing hard last year. I think you're more looking at individual issues with guys like Juan Thornhill than you are looking at like a legitimate quote-unquote culture problem. I think it's more of an indictment on Juan Thornhill than it is an indictment on Kevin Stefanski or an indictment on Jim Schwartz. I don't think Vrabel's legitimately fixing anything for you. The Browns have had that good culture. It's just now when the team's losing, nobody's going to point back to the year prior because everybody's up in arms. 216-474-0092. Get a grip. When we come back, it's Jake Volnick right here on 90. Jake Volnick right here on 90.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks, no cash access, and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Each year, KellyBlueBook.com ranks vehicles on the road for predicted future resale value. And for 2026, Toyota dominates the top of the list. 4Runner ranks number 3. The Tundra is number 2. And the Tacoma is number 1 overall again. The fact is, Toyota works hard on both ends of ownership. With special low APR financing rates available on Tacoma and Tundra right now at your local Toyota dealer. But also because you're getting trucks that are built to lead in affordability tomorrow. 4Runner, Tundra, and Tacoma are all expected to vastly outperform the average vehicle in resale value after 5 years of ownership, according to KBB, which can mean thousands more in your pocket when it's time to sell or trade in. That kind of affordability is hard to find anywhere else. So stop by your local Toyota dealer or visit Toyota.com and start shopping today. Projected resale value information is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
A burst pipe, a dead water heater, the AC calling it quits. Who do you call? HomeServe is an easy way to handle unexpected home repairs with plans covering stuff basic homeowners insurance usually won't. Instead of scrambling for a contractor, you make one call to get the repair process started. Join the millions of customers who trust HomeServe right now. Go to homeserve.com/podcast for 50% less your first year. That's homeserve.com/podcast. Savings compared to renewal price. Void in Florida.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/more messy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.